You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
In the year 2020, the coronavirus outbreak began, and a brave entrepreneur known as Olaf gathered together all the cheapest equipment in the world to build the beautiful, cheap-ass space cruise. And inside of it, he filled it with nothing but natives from Florida. And from there, our adventure begins. This is Doggett, and with me today, I have with me...
With you today, you have with you Nathan.
Yeah.
And Rose, I think.
And possibly Alex.
Ugh. I don't believe you guys. Fuck y'all. It's not really you. Who's on this call?
Honestly, I thought Alex was a figment of my imagination halfway through the quarantine.
Wait, you can see him too?
Oh.
All the power of imagination and all you guys come up with is Alex. I have Idris Elba and Hugh Jackman in my room currently.
I've got some news about Idris Elba, buddy.
Too soon.
He's not dead!
I'm sorry. Damn. I'm just always, like, fucking with you. You know, we should get into the plot of this show, but how good is Zach Woods in this show?
Zach Woods is my favorite.
On the top.
He's amazing.
Best part of anything he's in.
Yeah.
But what is Avenue 5 about, Rose?
Oh, it is a science fiction comedy, which is this luxury star cruiser goes off for just a... couple month voyage or something like that, and stuff goes wrong, and suddenly they are potentially stuck out in space for quite a bit longer than that. I'm sure many of you are thinking right now, that sounds like another show, quite a few shows actually, and it's really not.
What shows?
Gilligan's Island and Star Trek Voyager.
You brought up this! okay, any shows from 40 years ago?
Hogan's Heroes? No, that's not right.
It also sounds like something happening in real life with the Diamond Princess cruise ship.
I was gonna say that.
Kinda, oh my god.
Isn't it a little bit, though? Except, like, I'm pretty sure more people have died on there than on the Avenue 5.
I don't know.
Did they not also have a poop problem?
Yeah, it was rotating the ship, the one on Earth, I mean.
So,
but come on, guys. Come on, let's bring up some energy here. Come on,
guys. No, what do you think of the show? I was gonna say, what's your guys' relationship with the creator of this, Armando Iannucci? Have you guys all seen Veep or The Thick of It or Death of Stalin?
I have not.
I watched Veep.
They seem like they're right up my alley, and they're perpetually on my "I'll get to it someday" list.
The perpetually. I mean,
the clips of it that I have seen, I go, oh, that looks really funny. I can't wait to watch it. So I was very genuinely interested in this.
I love Veep. I've watched a bit of The Thick of It, and I love Death of Stalin. He left Veep, like, towards the end of its run, and I didn't feel like the show really faltered. I know some people have that opinion, and I was just kind of excited to see what he was doing. Going to do instead of Veep, because he clearly lost interest in that towards the end. I liked it, but I don't know. I was just, it was all right. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, Nathan, here's why you're wrong, Nathan. Well, first off, you're very pale, so correct that. This is a fantastic show. This is fucking hilarious. This has an all-star cast. You got Olaf, you got House, you got Zach Woods. He's so great, I'll say his actual name.
And, I said Zach Woods. You know, oh.
And female actresses that whose names I don't currently remember, but they were all fantastic. Every single one of them. This show has a great cast, and I love how by the end of the show, you do get to see, like, you have what I'm going to assume is going to be the main cast in one room.
I mean, I liked Hugh Laurie a lot. Josh Gad, I think this is one of his better performances. I wasn't, like, fully, like, all on the Herman Judd train, but I think he plays his role well.
Yeah.
I felt like some of the characters were very hit or miss, though, with me.
Oh, indeed. And I, like, Josh Gad is one of those weird actors where he, so often he looks like he's going to be the worst part of whatever he's in, and he turns out not to be, and that's very much true with the show as well.
James Corden's it. No?
What?
Is he really?
What?
James Corden always looks like he's going to be the worst. Okay, I just watched Cats last night, everybody.
Okay.
And he was far and away the best part of that movie without being a good part of that movie. I don't know. Cats is not on trial.
Not talking about Cats.
It is on trial, but let's move on to the show.
Zach Woods. Oh, you go, Rose.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Josh Gad actually worked pretty well in this one, and most of the characters did, I think, but somehow they worked more by themselves than together. When you had a lot of the characters interacting, I found it to kind of fall flat most of the time. But what about y'all?
Yeah, for an ensemble, it really doesn't feel like an ensemble. Like, when two characters are together, it feels great, but I don't know, there's so many secrets that everybody is keeping from one another that everybody's got to tiptoe over each other, and it's like, well, we know that person's secret, we know that person's secret, and there's nothing interesting about watching them just jammer like they're Hugh Grant in any movie.
Yeah, that was one thing, you know, where I think it didn't seem like anything changed.
I think the problem some people are having with the show is the show is actually a lot of things. It's not just a comedy. It's not even just a space comedy. It's, how do I put this? I don't want to say there's a lot going on because, okay, it's more like this. Every episode, I feel like, has a little bit of a twist at the end. Where, like, the first one, do we all want to spoil the first twist at the end of the first episode?
Does it have to do with somebody's voice?
Yeah.
I wouldn't consider that too massive of a spoiler so as to ruin the show, so
It's all the trailers if you watch any HBO show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's where it's that Hugh Laurie's pretending to be American because we all prefer him as American, which is true. That's just scientifically proven.
Yeah, it just kind of reminded me of how everybody had that twist after they watched House that they're like, oh, Hugh Laurie can do a really great British accent. They're like, wait, he was British all along.
Oh, yeah. And whenever it's a weird thing because he'll use his American accent whenever he's trying to big dick everybody. And whenever he, like, just completely loses his marbles, that's when the English accent comes out, and it's amazing. I love that Hugh Laurie is going back to his roots and in a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Hugh Laurie's fantastic in this show. God, how did you guys feel about Karen being the ultimate Karen?
I found that joke to fall pretty flat almost immediately, and it never really came back as being funny or relevant. And the fact that she kind of worked her way up in the ranks so quickly and to the point that she's, like, being called in on important meetings about, you know, decisions regarding the ship and things they're about to do. I'm like, the passage of time has not been adequately conveyed, so it just seems like she went from being this, you know, yeah, annoying Karen tourist to part of the, bridge officers in a couple days. That always annoyed me.
Well, I think when you're, like, isolated from the rest of the world, I think time operates differently. Like, I think we're all current. I think a lot of y'all are currently experiencing that with the whole self-quarantine shit going on. Where when you're in a room by yourself, time kind of it's standing still, but it's also going super fast.
Yeah, I agree that they didn't convey how time was passing very well, even though they had the advantage of someone on Earth who could tell you how long they've been there,
mm-hmm.
or how much time has passed.
Well, there's a 30-second delay, to be fair.
That's fair.
And I found, there again, too, I'm going to be the sourpuss this time, I think, but the handful of jokes that they had about the time delay got pretty annoying, because in other shows, sci-fi space shows, where they do have a time delay on things, like The Expanse, for example, they handle it realistically, where both people, you know, doing the conversation know that there's a time delay, and they kind of do their responses accordingly. But on this one, people on both ends just continue to try to talk, even though they know that there's a time delay. And I was like, this is barely funny once. Why do you keep doing this?
Well, yeah, no, I agree.
Well, in The Expanse, are those professionals? In The Expanse, are those professionals who are, like, doing the delay shit, or is it just regular people? Because for the most part, the delay joke usually falls on the passengers, who, as we already expressed, may as well be Florida trash.
Well, yeah, but it seems like it's at that point in the
and
future.
And Josh Gad, what is Josh Gad? Is he like an idiot savant? What's going on there?
I think with Josh Gad's character, they tried to have it both ways and split him between being another like Silicon Valley weirdo archetype, but also a little bit of Donald Trump very much. And those two things are very different types of people. And the metaphor kind of fell through for me on that as far as who they were trying to parody.
I had an issue of how often he would say that he's considered to be a genius, and people would talk about how he's a genius, yet, like,
Okay, nobody believed he was a genius, first off.
Nobody believed that he was a genius, but there seemed to be, like, almost like a cutout joke where they kept talking about how he's, like, a brilliant owner of this company, and, you know,
I never remember them ever saying that. That never occurred. Every single joke at Josh Gad was, "You're a fucking idiot," or "You're evil."
Oh yeah, I'm just talking about his reputation on Earth.
Well, that's pretty standard CEO stuff, though. I mean, I can't think of a single CEO
right now. Half the country thinks Trump's
a
genius. You know that, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a cliche, but you got to kind of do some legwork in the whole, like, oh, well, he established this besides just the ship. I don't know.
You know what? Alex, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I felt like they introduced his foil, Harrison, far too late in the season.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, with what happens to Harrison.
Yeah.
Yeah, they introduced him way too late, and then he's around for way too little for us to really care about this as a supposed antagonist.
Well, he wasn't really an antagonist.
He was to Judd.
Yeah.
Was he? I was going to piggyback what Rose said. He was barely in the show. I barely remember him. You know what? I remember one of his final scenes very well.
Of course.
How did you guys feel about... Okay, I will say, these characters might as well be in the main cast. They're credited as being recurring cast. But how did you feel about Doug and Frank, the husband and wife... Or not Doug and Frank, sorry. Doug and Mia, who are going through the whole divorce?
Now, I can completely understand if you all said they were your least favorite characters of the show.
If they were not on the show at all, I don't think it would have been a bit different. They were the most useless.
But I like them a little.
I was going to say
the
same
thing. Okay.
Yeah.
They're so awful. They're the worst people in the world.
In ensemble sitcoms like this, it's always fun to see random characters pair off and hit it off in strange ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun to see that divorcee guy hit it off with Spike, the has-been astronaut. I would have liked to have seen more of their hijinks.
I can encompass the character, the husband character, with only a few words. He loves flight simulators.
What I like the most, it just led to one of my personal favorite scenes where Zach Woods is playing the role of marriage therapist, which, I mean, most of the great things about this show are Zach Woods because he's the greatest thing in almost everything he's in besides The Office. And that entire marriage counseling scene where it just goes so south to just almost feeling like scenes from Marriage Story, which is coincidental considering Kyle Bornheimer was in Marriage Story. I don't know. I just thought it was great. Also, all of Zach Woods' little commercials killed me.
Yes.
All of Zach Wood killed me, whether it was just like him talking to guests and they're asking him why he's laughing so hard and he's like, I'm a nihilist. And they're like, no, you're not. Okay.
Yeah, he's just this blunt, nihilistic weirdo. And he gave me the most consistent laughs throughout the whole show.
Think about it as jazz faith.
Or fate. Guys, let me ask you an opinion. Now, be straight with me. Did you guys at least enjoy the show more as it went along, or did you enjoy it more from the beginning, and it petered out towards the end for you?
Oh, no, I definitely enjoyed it more as it went on, but I never felt like it escalated to the level where I was like, you know what, I really love this show.
Not
like,
even
some
the
shows will
the
start.
Same.
Not even the second some to last episode? Will...
No. Second to last episode was funny, but it never escalated to the level where I'm like, some shows you'll start off and they will just be atrocious and then they'll get better. Like, I know you guys haven't gotten into this show, or maybe you have, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has an awful first season, and then by the last six episodes, you're like, oh, this is the show that it wanted to be. And I never felt like that happened for Avenue 5. Felt like it was just sort of a rough sketch of what show it wanted to be. And never fully went off.
Oh, no. Maybe I enjoy shows like this. Do y'all ever watch a TBS show where it's like a ripoff of Lost, but like they don't do any of the supernatural elements?
Are you talking about...
Wreck?
Oh, God.
Is it called Wreck?
What?
It starred one of the guys from Whitest Kids You Know.
I know. I know what you're talking about. It's like Wrecked?
Yeah, it was something like that. It's basically just another show where people are stuck on a stranded island, and all you're watching is them fucking up the entire time. And this is a show, the space show we're currently talking about, is a show about what happens when you put a bunch of incompetent people in a single space, and how badly that could go. It's kind of a metaphor for America, in many ways. I think you guys aren't thinking critically enough about this. This is the guy... I'm going to stop doing that.
I think what was missing about this show, in comparison to like all of that, is the biggest issue to me with this is, I mean, I'm just coming off of the heels of Veep, which I tried not to hold this show up to Veep standards.
How dare you?
But this whole show needed to be one of those where as you slowly went through, you realized that everybody is awful. But no, there were actually some, like, decent people on the ship, like the head of mission control, Rav. I thought she was just an absolutely competent character who nobody was listening to.
Rav. And was she the person on Earth, right?
The lady with pointy haircut.
Well, Rav, and then I'm trying to remember, who is the...
The comedian?
No, the comedian was great, though. I thought that was a great little character that
You're
came
talking
through.
About Judd's assistant?
I'm talking about... No, I'm not talking about Judd's
Iris!
Assistant. I'm talking about...
Hugh Laurie's second in command?
Yeah, Hugh Laurie's second in command.
Oh, yeah, she's great. But I love that joke. Yeah. That of all these, you know... Well, it's... Maybe it was a little bit too subtle. I just read it as, oh man, racism really isn't over in the future.
Jesus.
There's like one black character on this entire ship that knows their shit and no one's listening to her. What's your explanation?
That people generally just don't listen to the experts anyway.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, that's true. I just did never...
She saves their lives at least twice in this show.
I felt like what always worked about Veep is that everybody was incompetent in some way.
Oh, she's incompetent too. She has no people skills. That's why you have the act.
That's a different level of incompetent. Yeah,
that's a classic engineer joke.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, that almost gets to like social disorders. It's like, well, Sherlock Holmes has no people skills, but they never really used that as like, I don't know. I just felt like it would have been better toned, like, say, Arrested Development, where all these characters are pieces of shit. They're just all pieces of shit to varying degrees.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's what I feel like I see in this show. Everybody's a piece of shit to a... Like, I love the ending, the last episode where Hugh Laurie... He's starting to get a little bit full of himself. And, like, by the end of it, he's like, man, I gotta stop thinking I'm clever.
Yeah, I don't know. I've just, I like this show. Like, on the whole, I mean, we'll get into final ratings later. I like this show. I just, it was missing something to make me love it.
Now, Nathan, can I get you to admit that the first season of Veep is the weakest season of Veep?
Oh, no, I totally agree.
Okay.
I honestly tell people who don't like the first season to just skip on to season two. But there's nothing about Veep season one that doesn't make me want a Veep season two. With this, I'm kind of just indifferent on a season two.
Is this supposed to have another season?
Yeah, it's already confirmed for a second season.
Oh.
You see, I just see so much potential that can happen here. And there's like so many characters we haven't been introduced with. And I think they've done a good job of showing that there are stakes. Like, maybe you guys don't care about the characters. I do. I don't want to see anybody die, and very, very quickly they'll let us know, yeah, all these people could die.
I tried to care about the characters, I just couldn't after a while. Some of them I still do, but most of them...
To be fair, bros, you also hated Miss Maisel Season 3, so everything you say is disqualified. You gave it a 2 out of 10, right?
Sure.
The issue is, like, there are characters that I like, but there's no characters that I love. Like, even with Zach Woods, I like him because he's Zach Woods doing his Zach Woods shtick. I never really cared about him as a character. He was just more of a platform for Zach Woods to do his very dark, depressing comedy.
Wait, has he done this kind of comedy before?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah.
Silicon Valley.
No, bullshit, fuck you. He is not the same character as Silicon Valley.
He's not the same character, but it's the same brand of humor.
Not even the same brand of humor. Those are his brand of humor in Silicon Valley is how excited he is, how full of like joy and love he is.
Did you watch the last season of Silicon Valley or the later ones? He just fully turns into a dark, very...
That stuff's laying underneath, but it's like how Jimmy Fallon has like a deep dark side inside of him. You can kind of tell, but like he hides it well. That's Jared in Silicon Valley. Oh,
Zach Woods to play Jimmy Fallon in a biopic.
Man, watch a Jimmy Fallon episode one day and just like look at his eyes. You'll see it. He's got Charlie Sheen eyes.
I don't know. Plus downhill, he kind of has that. I mean, not necessarily the same dark energy, but he always has a dark energy to his humor, and he always says the last thing you would expect him to say, which, you know, usually is just a cheap comedy trick, but he always makes it work.
Yeah. He's got some skills. Alex, I am rolling over you this entire time. What do you think of this show?
I enjoyed it. I felt like it got better as it went along, but it never really reached a point where I was like, I love it. I felt like there were too many jokes that just sort of missed, or they just beat till they were dead.
Interesting.
That's enough out of Alex now.
Yeah. There wasn't enough, like, character chemistry.
I thought you were going to agree with me. Never mind.
It's also very hard watching this show and then watching Curb Your Enthusiasm kill it.
Oh, man, I hate you so much because I love Curb Your Enthusiasm way more.
And you know this season has been killing it.
Okay, to be fair, this is the best season of Curb Your Enthusiasm in a while. Let's be fair.
Oh, yeah, I'll be fair about it, but it doesn't keep it from looking like Low Winter Sun next to Breaking Bad Season 5.
I will say, Parks and Rec and 30 Rock got better after their first seasons. Actually, The Office too.
No,
actually,
I'm not
every
saying
comedy
that
gets better after the first season.
Completely robbed of any potential. I'm just saying I didn't feel an excitement for season two. I didn't feel an excitement for season two after I watched Parks and Rec.
By the end of it, I think they didn't. But towards the last half of the season, there's a stake that's happening, which is basically, I'm not going to give it away, but there's a goal that's trying to be achieved that, things go as they go.
Suppose.
That was really touching.
So it goes.
Okay, final thoughts, guys, because we're getting rambly. It's just like Doggett being like, come on, guys.
Motherfucker, somebody love this show with me.
Doggett, let's start with your final thoughts, buddy.
Well, guys, I really enjoy this show. I mean, I know I'm not dead inside and, I have a pretty good life and everything. That's the end of my review.
Are you trying to die right now? Do you want to die today, motherfucker?
Are you Zach Woods?
No, I'm not tall. I'm not tall enough.
Quarantine.
No, seriously though, I did enjoy the show a lot, and I actually can see what everybody's talking about. It's just those things didn't hit me as much. This is more of a disaster comedy show, and I'm okay with the characters, being unlikable for the most part. Even that Karen character, you guys didn't enjoy it. I enjoyed her descent into a top position, and it made sense to me, even with just like one line, which was basically how she's able to explain away troubles to passengers easier than everybody else because she'll just roll over them. And
I liked her husband, Benjamin Button.
I loved him too. I loved her husband. How he almost got jettisoned once.
Yeah, her husband was pretty great.
But by the end of this, I did care about these characters, and I'm interested in this journey we're all going to go in together. I would give this show a very strong, very powerful, very sensational 7 out of 10 floating bodies.
Okay. Alex.
I won't lie. It made me laugh out loud a few times, but that was only a few times. And I don't know.
That's like saying somebody only gave you a few orgasms. You don't like the orgasms?
Hey, man. I enjoyed them. But I don't know. I expected a lot more, I guess. I'd give it maybe 3.5 out of 5 avenues.
Wait, 3.5 out of 5?
Yes, that adds up to 7 out of 10. Like you, Doggett, I enjoyed it, just not a bunch.
Yeah, I just want to bring up that the Love Guru made me laugh like 2 times, and I wouldn't
admit
to an orgasm.
Why would you admit that, Nathan?
I have no shame anymore.
Clearly. You should have a little bit of shame for that.
So my feelings on Avenue 5 are, it was good. I mean, I spent my time with it. It made me laugh at times. It honestly just made me realize that Zach Woods is a really good ingredient in any HBO sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you let that dude off the chain, he's insane. Hugh Laurie was solid in it. It just, there was no real character that I really gravitated towards, pun intended, as it went through. And I just, all in all, it left me feeling like lightly satisfied that I'd watched it. I don't know. I would give it 6.5 out of 10 Pope the Second shit clouds. I don't know. 6.5.
I really, really wanted to like it a lot more than I did. I'll say that the cast is fantastic. I think they're a little underutilized at times. The production design is absolutely gorgeous. We didn't even talk about that at all, but it looks better than some movies that I've seen. I just wish that the jokes were a little bit better, the narrative was a little more cohesive, and I'm not entirely writing it off just yet, but if it doesn't get better after this upcoming season, whenever that's going to be, I'm going to probably just walk away from it. And I give it 5 suitcases jettisoned out of 10.
You can't just walk away, Rose. That's not how One of Us Not Net works.
I just gotta leave this review by saying that Doggett gave a very positive review to Mobtown.
Oh, yeah. But do you remember what my score was for Mobtown?
I do not remember.
It was a 3 out of 10.
No. You gave it a very positive review.
No, it was an enthusiastic. It was an enthusiastic 3 out of 10.
It was a light 8 out of 10. Doggett gave Mobtown 8 out of 10, and he shouldn't be trusted.
Nathan has seen Cats 5 times.
I've seen it once. It felt like I watched it 5 times. I think that movie gave me coronavirus.